Welcome back, listeners, to your AfterBuzz TV after show for Game of Thrones, Season 7, Episode 6. Join us as we venture beyond the wall.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Woo!
All right.
Oh, boy.
We're beyond the wall now.
Oh, everybody's happy, right? Everybody's happy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm still decompressing because this is like, it's a big episode. And it's and we knew it was going to be big. And it's still like, it's shaking me. It's taking you some time to kind of decompress.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us to this episode. My name is Kyle Maddock. I'm going to be your host of this little shindig. And I got a lovely party of Beyond the Wall adventurers with me.
I'm going to be your co-host this evening. I'm at Cinematic Escape, where all the good things happen. Kristen Snyder.
I'm also going to be your co-host this evening. I'm M.R. Dave Child, DaveChild.com. Mr. Dave Child, I'm Dave Child.
I'm still really sad. I'm sorry, guys. I'm really upset. Hi, guys. My name is Amber Plaster. I am your chat maester, and I will be in the chat. I am up on the main panel today, filling in for Ryan again. Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah.
My hair is blue. Just wanted to address that.
Are you?
That's what happens when you go beyond the wall.
Yeah.
Did the Night King just like touch your hair?
Yep.
And then it just turned blue?
Yep.
Got evil hair.
Yep.
She's an ice Amber.
Yep. I'm icy today. And you guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Amber Plaster.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. So penultimate episode of season 7 here, folks. We always know that's the big episode of every HBO season, Game of Thrones or regardless. But here we are. We're going to start beyond the wall, and we have this. We just have all these guys venturing north, and they're pairing off here. They're having lots of conversations before the big battle.
I could have this be like 5 episodes of them just like chatting and hanging.
It's their favorite characters all coming together.
Yeah, it was so good. And they got to talk about stuff they really needed to get off their chest. Mm-hmm. Enough so it was like, oh, this is scary, because they're talking about things that are resolving problems. And I'm like, no, this is end of character arc discussions. And I'm worried about it. And I just love the talk about Longclaw. Although Jon, he's got to just be a little selfish, dude. Yeah. Like, every single thing he does is just like, I don't need this sword. You take the sword back.
I like how he does that. Hey, we're just about to fight the others, everybody. Let me give you the one weapon that can defeat them. And yeah. Here you go. Take it.
It's like, I'll be fine with
timing. Timing.
Come on, John. What are you thinking?
Well, we started to be honorable. Like, he at least had to try to give it back. I would think by the look at his face, he was still holding on to it from one end. Like, he didn't want to.
I guess I have to give this to you. But maybe.
Exactly.
I
think he was very happy to get it back.
Yeah. Nice. The first conversation we have is actually between Tormund and Jon, which actually plays into the very end of the episode. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk about that, where Tormund's saying the king beyond the wall never bent the knee, and how many people died for his pride. He's talking to him about Jonny and Danny here. And I think that's a great way to kind of kick it off. It was a nice writing there because it ended up that way as well.
I'm really glad that he brought that up, because personally, I wanted Jon to bend the knee to Dany. And I'm glad that he's kind of got that influence now, because he obviously looked up to Mance. So I think coming to terms with, you know, seeing how many people died for Mance because of his pride, I think Jon obviously doesn't want to repeat that.
Right. And I don't think it's really, I still believe that Jon doesn't have very much pride, since he's giving away swords and wanting to die at every single moment. But him having pride is, like, not believable to me. I think what he really was scared of was that he needed to see in Dany a queen that the North would follow. And I don't think he truly saw that until the end of this episode.
I completely agree with you. Just like Dany had to see beyond the wall, Jon needed to see her be that hero for them, put herself in battle, put herself, you know, everything that she's done up until this point, just like Tyrion said, she put that on the line to fight for him.
Yeah. I do like how we get this episode, this moment with Tyrion where he's clearly shipping Daenerys and Jon together. This nice little, like, you know, you guys, you know, he's really, all those people that you mentioned that are too brave and too heroic.
That's right.
You
yeah.
kind of done all those guys. So maybe it's kind of your
he
thing.
He always calls her out.
Let's not go that far because Jorah only wishes.
Yep, it's true.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, come on.
Sorry. Majorly wishes.
But he was included, yeah.
So we got Gendry being mad at the Brotherhood.
Uh-huh.
Here, because they shipped him off. They sold
Gendry.
I enjoyed that scene. She stripped me naked. She tied me down. Well, what's the problem here? What's going on?
And then they were leeches. Yeah. Still don't see a problem. Still don't. You know, some people just like leeches. It's GGG people. Some people into leeches.
If you're a Bolton, you're just into that stuff.
Sometimes you like a little bloodletting in the bed.
Okay.
Let's move on.
Okay. All right. All
right.
So the next interaction we have is the Hound and Tormund. I'm just going to go through these interactions and see if you guys have anything to say about them. The Hound and Tormund is our next meeting.
Yeah.
And I think my favorite joke of the whole episode was I hate gingers.
Yeah.
Both kissed by fire, though.
Kissed by fire.
I loved that. I love that he just chose to pick on the Hound. That for almost the entire episode, I was like, yes, because I really just, I know, unpopular opinion, I don't like the Hound. Everyone else does.
Boo.
So I was like, ha, get him, Tormund. You get him. And then things got a little bit more real and I got scared.
I liked when he pointed things out. Okay, you got burnt and now you're mean and now you hate everyone. So I like that he kind of gave the Hound, his character, some background for the audience who maybe hasn't felt that from him. He kind of put the nose on it and was pointing it out, you know, that his past has made him this way.
Yeah.
But then I love the discussion with Brienne.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh, he wants to have giant babies with her. I love that.
I feel like that entire scene was made up as fan fiction. Like, that was so much fan service.
That's also why it scared me. Tormund was the one person I was really scared about, like, going north. He was the one guy who was like, oh, if they kill him, it'll feel a little like Hordor. Yeah. Like, it'll have that moment where he's so lovable and we all like Tormund, and if he gets killed, and I think they knew that, and I think that's why there's that scare
they
in the moment where it seems like he's he really was about to have that hero death at one moment, and I think it was because of that reason. And but when they were having all those conversations, they had the fan service with Brienne, they had him making fun of Gendry in a really good way, hitting on Gendry and making him uncomfortable. All these great Tormund moments that I was like, okay, all right.
I really enjoyed this part of it with all these different interactions because there's a lot of these mashups we're seeing that I didn't even think about before. Like the whole, when he started talking about Brienne, I was like, oh, that's right. They had the fight and everything. And it's things you, there's so much going on the show that there are like little things here and here, character interactions that you don't really think about. And pairing all these different people up kind of gave us this little, it may be fan service, but it was entertaining.
It was majorly fan service. And just like the chat pointed out, like there was a lot of plot holes, like with the walkers suddenly not being able to go through the water like they were able to last season.
Yeah, just walk up through the water. We can get to that later.
I think
they're
just kind of dumb. I think that's what they were pointing at. That's why the Hound was like throwing rocks at them.
I don't think so.
But then they were dumb, but then they were able to swim underwater, put a giant chain around the dragon's neck, and pull it up in an orderly fashion.
That was at the command of the Night King. I don't feel like the Night King was. Yeah, I think but he was if sort you of making them wait.
If you see how they were chasing after him, when they started chasing after them, you saw them start to gather around them. Mm-hmm. So they were chasing after them in a very smart way. When they did cross the river, they came kind of one at a time so that they didn't break it all at once. So that was smart. So the Night King is commanding them and controlling them, but he's doing it in a very smart way. I did find it weird that they didn't just walk under the water and then up because they don't need to. They can breathe underwater.
Did they float? I don't even know.
Maybe. Well, they all sank, and you even saw them pop up towards the end, so why didn't they just keep walking after all the ice was broken?
Well, maybe they, you know, can't get through underneath.
That's a good point. I don't know. I was not sure why they had all stopped. I don't know if that was the Night King just not making them charge them to kind of see what they were going to do. I don't know if he was watching to maybe learn about them.
I mean, the thing to me is, I don't know if you guys have ever fallen in a frozen lake or whatnot.
But in my spare time.
You pretty much have to grab ice to get yourself out of it.
Right.
So, I mean, you have these undead zombies, but they can't all of a sudden like get super traction on the ice to get up and out. Like once you're in the water, getting out is such a hard thing once you've fallen in a frozen.
It's not hard if you create a stairway of other zombies.
You want to like, you want to...
A bridge of bodies.
What's the Z? World War Z? This
Yeah, I think that's what could have... There were so many of them, they could have just crowded around, but okay... I think they were just like, nah, let's just wait till they die. That's just freezing.
And that's the fun thing, too, because they have all the time. It's not like they're going to they're gonna die of starvation.
Yeah, that's true. They could just wait them out.
They could just wait them out.
And not have to worry about falling to pieces. But they could have just, like, climbed up. Anyways.
So we have John and Beric having a little scene here, which is kind of cool. We see the two heroes that have been raised from the dead sort of have this interaction.
Comparing notes.
Yeah, and Beric says to John, we can defend those who can't defend themselves.
I really like that, thinking that they're the shields and guards of men. Because I felt like at that point, John, that also clicked with John. You could just kind of see it on his face. Like he kind of felt lost up until that point, and now coming in contact with someone who's experienced this... the same like life and death experience that he has, I feel like then seeing having a purpose to why he was rose to hear someone else say it, I think really helped him in moving forward and having motivation.
Yeah, I got it that he didn't understand how to be a savior, how to be this guy that's risen back from the dead, but he does understand how to be a sword and shield of the realm. He understands what it is to be the Night Watch. Right. So if he's like, oh, I'm just like a holy Night Watch.
Yeah, if it's not for him personally, it's for everybody else that you're still alive, John. Because before I think he was like, oh, it's something, you know, great for me. What did I do to deserve this? But really, it's like, okay, now he can accept. It's not for me. It's for everybody else.
And John is back because he's the driving force behind protecting the entire realm from... he's the person who's like, we got to stop these because nobody else is going to do it if he wasn't around.
The one thing I wish they did on that big walk was just teach him how to do the flaming sword trick.
Yeah, right? Why can't they all do that? Guys.
I know. That's a cool... That's a very useful tool.
They've been marching for 6 weeks. And no one thought to be like, hey, could we just join the Lord of Light party? Is now a good time to convert? What can we do?
I think you have to actually believe in the Lord of Light to be able to do that. And I think that's why John probably can't.
Yeah, because he was kind of like, I don't understand this Lord of Light thing. But I think as soon as he saw a flaming sword, he would be like, maybe I could...
I can get into that.
He brought me back from the dead, and he can swords on fire? Oh, gosh.
Okay. Sure is useful to follow.
At least
Lord
I got
light.
Two eyes.
So, guys, as we're walking around, we come across a zombie bear.
Zombie bear.
Or a couple of them? Was there only one, or was there two? I was a little confused.
I think it
about
got, just one. I think it just kind one? Of zigzagged in the snow.
Okay.
And came clever girled him, but just one. Mm-hmm.
So I liked how throughout this episode we had just enough red shirts at just the opportune moments to die.
Yeah. Like, yeah, there were like...
there was a lot of convenient circumstances.
There was a lot of like, oh God, we haven't killed anybody in a while. Hey, yo, you guy over there.
I wish they introduced those red shirts a little bit because you would see someone dead... And then you would be like, what, how did that, did someone win? Okay, they didn't focus on them.
Yep.
So that was just a random dude.
It was random.
So, okay. But I wish we had a moment where we kind of saw this before.
Yeah, I don't like that. That's one of my problems with, like, Westerns and war movies is when you see a bunch of casual kills and you're like, okay, well... Yeah. Who was that guy who was in the boat the whole episode?
Who was that?
The threat is real, though.
Cool.
That's why they're there.
That's war, though,
the threat
though, you know?
Is real. It's That's real. Why we're just killing off randos so that you know that your favorite characters could die at any moment. Yeah.
They did. I gotta give Game of Thrones credit, though. They really had me concerned for Jon Snow, even though I knew.
I know.
It was impossible for him to die or turn into a White Walker.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That was crazy.
I felt the threat.
Yeah,
but we do have Thoros who goes down in this scene.
Thoros,
who I thought he was done at this moment, but
he thought
he wasn't quite out yet. They just cauterized his wounds with the flaming sword trick, which just kept happening, and I'm all for that happening.
Yeah, I'm into
all the time. But yeah, Thoros, he's a tough dude.
Well, he even told them go on without me. Like he was ready to retire in the snow right there, and they made.
No,
him
I think
get
up. I think the go on was actually to Beric to go on, burn me, cauterize it.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I thought he just wanted to.
I thought he
stay.
Wanted to die.
I thought so for a moment too, and then he with the sword and do it. And I was like, okay. Oh, that's what he meant. But right after this, we have Jorah and Thoros talking about the time that Thoros like ran through the Wall of Pike during Robert's Rebellion earlier on, and how drunk he was, and how the Greyjoys thought he was a god and everything. That was a kind of of a fun interaction right there.
And I really believe that Jorah thought he was the bravest man, too. Like, Jorah was so serious about that. And he was like, oh, like, my hero has fallen. You were just drunk.
Yeah. Just drunk the whole time.
And Thoros was a good guy to kind of go first because he is like, well, but he can always bring him back. He has that ability to bring people back.
Yep.
So when he's dead, it's kind of like the medic going. And so
exactly. He can't heal your party. So we come across White Walker and his traveling band of whites.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they were just... Yeah, scouts? Is that what it was?
I think they were scouting. It was kind of like how that random guy who was ahead with the bear, he was scouting for the group. There's always one guy that's kind of ahead to kind of keep a lookout.
Okay.
So I think that's what that group of White Walkers was. Sure. Convenient that one of them... wasn't turned by that guy.
Very convenient. But we get
very convenient.
It's not that convenient.
Well, we get this moment. The explanation.
Yeah, so.
I'll let you guys argue.
I think you can argue that there's a lot of conveniences in this episode, but I think you can also argue that there is Lord of Light fate things going on. So I think a lot of the conveniences you can kind of scrap up to fate happening like it's supposed to happen.
So, because they have the Lord of Light on their side, is it?
Yes.
You believe.
Because there's also people controlling stuff. So I think when stuff like that happens, where it's convenient, but then they also get stranded, it doesn't really make it too convenient. They just have these moments where I think when Jon Snow is saved to kind of go ahead a little bit, I think that's because of a fate kind of interceding and Lord of Light kind of helping out.
Right.
Where we see accidents, Dave sees providence.
Yes.
That's how it is. So we get this moment, which is explained a little later on, where Jon kills the White Walker, which in turn possibly kills all the whites that person turned, or that White Walker turned. So I imagine like a good chunk of that guy's army, of the White Walker army, died as well.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on how many whites there are, because there was, like, even behind the Night King, I think there was about 4 or 5 whites. So maybe that's, like, 1/6 of the army got killed, but who knows?
Yeah. But we have this prisoner white, and then he screams, and they find out that the army of whites... Actually, guys, let me stop right there. Let me talk for a moment about our sponsor this week.
Speaking of flesh-eating zombies.
Because I could just talk nonstop. But let's talk about plated.com here, guys. Food.
just the smoothest transition.
Smoothest transition. Sorry, I saw this. I just get into the episode. Guys, I got my plated.com this week, and it was delicious. Let me tell you, I was Bobby Flaying it up in this kitchen. I made Italian burgers with a corn, tomato, mozzarella salad on the side.
Ooh.
Oh, yes. I made something I can't pronounce correctly. Amber, what was it? It was a Caesar chicken.
Gyro.
Yes, I say gyro. I am completely mistaken.
He's been reading a lot of books about gyros and gyros. It's always been gyro in his head as he's been reading those books. That's why.
It did look really good, though.
It was delicious. I took pictures. I wish I could show them to you right now. I got, like, several dates out of it because I was such a good chef. Ooh. No, I didn't. That's a lie. But it looks so good. Like,
you're selling it a bit too much. We cannot promise you dates. We can promise you delicious food with Plated.
For your date.
It was so good, guys.
Which you arrange.
I loved it because I arrived home one day and it was all of a sudden there. And I was the whole drive home, I was thinking, what am I going to get for dinner? And I showed up and it was there. And I was like, yes. So I made one of the meals right away. It was fantastic. And then I put the other one aside. And I got to say, a couple days later when I opened it up, like, everything was still fresh in it. Nothing had wilted. It was wonderful. It was great, guys. I really enjoyed it. You don't have to do grocery shopping. You don't need the exact amounts. Everything was in there, and it was fantastic. I really did enjoy it. So, yeah,
you don't need a fire-breathing dragon to cook it. You just put it in your oven. You're set. Speaking of fire-breathing dragons.
Absolutely. But one more thing, guys. Discover your ideal dinner experience. Go to plated.com/buzz to get 50% off your first Plated box. 50%. That's 50% off. For limited time only, terms apply. See plated.com/buzz for details. That's plated.com/buzz.
Cool. Do it.
Let's check it out, guys.
Now dragons.
Awesome.
Darren Bank is paid.
I love it.
Return.
So they send Gendry off. Run. Yes. Run, boy,
if
run.
He's not rowing. He's running.
And that's what I was thinking, too. I was like, he was rowing forever. Now he's going to be running forever. Man, this poor guy.
So the chat is saying, who do you think the MVP of the episode was? I think Gendry, but people are also saying Benjen.
Well, Benjen did come in the clutch.
Benjen, Drogon. I mean, Dany was pretty awesome.
Gendry has to get the Raven to Dany first, so it's got to be MVP Gendry.
Gendry, right? For the speed yes. and giving up his hammer, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's scary.
He gave up his hammer. He's like, but, oh, hammer's my thing. Yeah. I had this whole speech last episode. Okay.
Oh, man. So, guys, this leads into this battle. They're stuck on this rock. They're all surrounded, and we get this epic battle. It's going to happen. It waits. It freezes over. How did you feel about this? This was crazy.
I feel like they couldn't survive much longer. I was, like, just waiting and praying and hoping for Dany. Because, yeah. I mean, they were taking out men left and right, but I didn't know how long they could possibly continue.
I was so... yeah, I was worried about who we were going to miss. There was that great Tormund almost dying moment that I really thought he was going to go. And then when we did go to Dragonstone before this moment and have Dany go with all three dragons...
Yes.
I was worried about the fate of all three dragons.
Yes, I was too.
Of course.
And because we were right for being worried.
Yes, I was very right. Because I was worried. It was just... don't bring three. Just bring one.
We know one. We're familiar with one. We've never fought with three, Dany.
Yeah.
We've never gone this far. Why would you
say we needed two, at least. We needed to see one go down and Dany learn how to swipe the other arrow.
I don't think we needed to see any of them go down.
Agreed. I don't think we needed to see any of them go down.
Well, but now she has a reason to fight.
Where was Rhaegal during this time?
She had a reason to fight before when she showed up and saw an army of the dead.
I honestly thought that when Jon was stuck there with no one else, that Rhaegal, the other dragon, was going to come save him.
I was with him.
And I was kind of like, why didn't you swoop back around? I guess he was still in danger of getting an ice spear.
Yeah.
They were worried about...
That was still in danger?
Yeah, because they were worried about the dragons getting hit again, and then she would lose all the dragons. Yeah. And she
really
had to
learn more about
him
first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn. Oh man, this was wild. They had their backs to the wall, and they pulled it out. But we did lose Thoros in memoriam. Thoros.
Yeah. I will remember you.
Will you remember?
Ooh, Joshua.
I don't think we have the rights to that song.
I did love Dany's winter outfit. Dany's winter outfit. I was like,
she looked
on
beautiful.
Point.
That's my Halloween costume. Thank you. Goodbye.
Also, it looked oddly similar to Cersei's all black kind of.
Did you get that
Michael
vibe?
Jackson sort of outfit last season?
Okay.
She was gearing up. I kind of see like a mirror of opposites.
When
with
she blew
them,
up the set.
Yeah.
Black and white, yo.
Black and white. White hat, black hat.
And we did lose another member of the family. What is this dragon's name again?
Viserion.
I think it's Viserion.
Viserion.
I do have to. There's a lot of people in the chat. I'm looking over your shoulder here who are right away calling this dragon Ice Dragon.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And, yeah,
It's gonna have ice breath.
Yeah. It'll be disappointing if it has fire breath. But
wouldn't make sense.
If it does have fire breath,
with fire. No, it's gonna have ice. Right?
I think it's gonna be ice.
It's gonna have ice.
But if it did have fire, which I don't think it will, because that's kind of they're all vulnerable to fire. But if it did have fire, he can maybe use that to melt the wall. But I think it's gonna be ice.
Okay,
I think you're right. But he can now maybe he can fly over the wall.
And I'm assuming the Night King is going to be the one riding.
Ugh.
Yeah. Even if he isn't riding it, I think, you know, he'll have it.
Yeah.
And that's what I wonder is if we've been talking about who's going to be the third rider, maybe there is no third rider.
Third
rider is
the Night King.
But I don't know that he needs to.
You think
do
he could just send
that.
It off and fly around on its own?
Yeah,
okay.
It can cause enough havoc on its own.
Yeah, but if you had a dragon, wouldn't you ride it?
I really hope he doesn't, though. That's going to really make me angry.
He's going to fly around throwing his ice spears at everybody.
Yeah, that's going to be really
like lightning
scary.
Bolts from Zeus.
And then he's going to be on the same level as the other dragons throwing ice spears at them.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait to see it. That's why I'm excited, because the possibilities of an ice dragon are awesome.
When he takes... We got to talk a moment about when he does take that dragon down, because when he takes out the spear, from that moment on, we're kind of like, no, oh no, oh no, we saw this coming. And he's just walking forward, and he extinguishes the flames by just walking through them, and he throws it. Ugh, Night King's scary.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't like him.
I feel like he could have done that to Dany, to Jon. He could have angled that spear whichever way he wanted.
He did miss once. They did miss when they tried to go for Drogon. They did miss.
Yep.
Thank goodness.
Thank goodness.
So they're not perfect.
He's not infallible. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But also they had the warning of seeing the first spear work.
Yeah. Now they know
time to get going.
Now they know it's a problem.
Guys, those dragons tore those whites up.
Yes. That was great to
Holy
see.
Holy cow. But so John gets saved by Benjen here, which was cool. I did not see that coming.
Yeah, that
was out of nowhere.
I was like, who was that? Because I thought that he had disappeared so many times. Like, I thought he was dead by now. I just kind
he's
of forgot
an interesting
he was still
character,
out there.
Right? Because he's, he's not quite all human now. No. And he has saved Bran before out of nowhere, out of nowhere. I mean, he was gone for like 5 seasons.
He keeps an eye out for his family.
Yeah, I like how John was like, Uncle Benjen, what? Later, peace.
Uncle Benjen, I was looking for you in chapter one of the first book. Okay, all right, bye.
I found you.
So John makes it back to East Watch, and later on he wakes up on a boat, and we have this moment between Danny and John here.
I gotta say, I love Bill Daly in the chat just said Benjen Ex Machina, which I liked.
Okay, moving on. So John Sahir says what he was talking about with Tormund earlier. John's like, if I could bend the knee, I would right now. Let's do this. You're my queen. Mm-hmm. And
but I'm in bed.
Thank you.
With my shirt off.
And all
and
my
ass.
I can't bend down.
And my scars.
Look at my sexy scars. Awesome. Maybe we should hold hands for a bit too there long.
John was having it, and I was there for it.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a beautiful moment. I really liked that whole conversation. It reminded me of all the guys' little conversations in the beginning, just Danny and John talking, and then him calling her his queen instead of Danny.
He was like, how about my queen? I was like, how about it?
Yeah.
How about it?
Are you guys sad that he's going to bend the knee? Do you think that she'll actually make him get on his knee?
Well, he's going to bend the knee when he proposes to her. That's what's going to happen.
Well,
I mean,
think
that's not really the tradition out there.
I almost
you get that right.
I almost expect her to propose to him.
I would love that.
I kind of feel like that might be happening. And right now, she is very uncomfortable with her feelings towards him.
Yeah.
Because you could see that she was looking so vulnerable because she just lost one of her kids, for one. But also, it just felt like she was turning into a little. All of a sudden, she looked.
Yeah.
19. Like, she looked like a little girl.
In love.
Yeah, when she was talking to John, it was a great moment. And then you saw her kind of steely up and be like, oops, I'm still
it's a weakness.
Queen.
Falling in love with this king that she doesn't know is a weakness.
She just put everything on the line to save
his life.
She just
lost a dragon. She can't afford to be weak right now.
And how about her waiting at the wall for him?
Oof.
I think everyone thought it was a hopeless cause except for her.
Did you get that feeling that he was waiting? I thought she was just mourning.
I kind of thought she was maybe mourning or hoping for her dragon to somehow make it.
Oh, no. I think she was waiting for John.
Okay.
Really?
Well, I think she was
waiting
for John.
I totally did not get that vibe.
That's why I was like, just a moment longer, and I don't think she's expecting. Except it was confusing because we only saw Drogon flying around, so I'm like, oh, where's the other dragon?
Where's Rhaegal? Yeah.
But I was like, okay, Rhaegal's just there somewhere.
Budgetary.
Yeah. He's just there somewhere. She's waiting for John. That's kind of what I said.
Yeah, I agree.
We get the one horn. John returns. So then we get the scene, of course, with the Viserion being resurrected here. And we talked about that. So that's going to lead to some crazy stuff.
But it was great to see the lingering on the eye and the eye opening and the blue eye. That's, oof.
Yeah.
That's where I was kind of hoping it was going to end, but also worried it was going to end because I'm so invested in the show. I'm like, that'll be a really cool story technique, but I hope they don't do it because I want everyone to win and be happy. But I'm glad they ended on the eye opening.
Yeah. So guys, I was going to go to Winterfell, but I'm looking at my notes across here. We're going to go to Dragonstone, but we've already touched upon most of Dragonstone here.
A little bit.
We got Dany not wanting Tyrion to be a hero because all the heroes die, and she rambles off Drogo, Jorah, Dario, Jon Snow, all these guys that have fallen in love with her. We get that kind of moment there.
We do get a lot of tension in between Tyrion and her.
Yes, that's exactly what I wanted to talk about, where Tyrion promised Jaime that he'd sort of keep her in line.
Yeah, which, dude,
what?
I think he really shouldn't have said that.
Yep.
Like, he's kind of getting a bit too familiar with her, I think.
Yeah. She reminded him of that, I think, really well, too, because he was like, you got impulsive, and she was like, impulsive? Because I was like, you were getting impulsive. And I was like, wait, actually, when has she been crazy? She's never been out of line.
Either.
No.
He just didn't like how violent she was, but she did give them several warnings.
Yep.
Right.
And I thought that was a talk that needed to be had, even though he kind of let a little too much slip.
I think he just really didn't want that whole Tarly family to go up in smoke. So it was his way of trying to bring that back. Like, you got to make sure you don't do that too often, that you're just killing off Westeros family left and right. But he did in a bad way.
I know he's her hand, but man, he is.
He's getting a bit too familiar.
He is stepping up.
She's worried about, are they laying a trap? Who's laying the trap here? Mm-hmm. I mean, I am too. Are we laying the trap? You know Cersei is. I mean, hands down, Cersei's laying a trap. Cersei has a plan. Yeah. I have no doubt.
Because they did talk about how they will be meeting her, aka when they get the white. They will be going to King's Landing, and they will be meeting with Cersei.
Yeah.
So it sounded like they were just going to like send an envoy with the white, but Danny's going to go herself.
I don't know if Danny's going. I saw John doing all the talking.
I don't know. I think they're going to go because I think it's like when John went to talk to Daenerys. I think you need to have a king meet a queen. So if they're talking on behalf of Daenerys, I think they're going to need to have Daenerys there. It's going to be need to be Jon, Daenerys, and Cersei.
Very worried about
to show
this
how
meeting.
Serious it is.
Yeah,
absolutely. So we also get in this a little talk about succession here.
Yeah.
Tyrion wants to figure out a plan since she can't have children. What's the deal? What's going to go on with that? And she's like, "Well, one step at a time. I need to get the throne. Then we can talk about it.
Right?
Because until then, it doesn't matter." Do you side with Tyrion? Do you think she should start planning something out? Or do you side with her?
I side with her. I'm like, one day at a time. Like, there's a lot going on.
Yep.
And I understand that they're going to need an heir, but what can you possibly do about that right now?
But what if she dies in the fight? Yeah. I think Tyrion wants someone to support.
And also,
Who will lead her forces after that?
Tyrion will, because that's what happened to Ned.
Who will the Dothraki follow if she goes down?
Yeah,
that's my question. Dothraki's going to be like, Dothraki are going to be like, we're out.
They would follow Missandei, honestly. You don't think so?
I don't think they would follow anybody. I think they'd be like,
they wouldn't.
Our Khaleesi's done. We're out. We're going home.
I don't think so, because before Dany, they wouldn't follow any woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The fact that she like burned down like a whole house and came out alive with everyone watching her, they're like, oh, okay, I guess we'll follow a woman.
Well, like Dave said, Missandei would have the Unsullied at least.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously, I hope that doesn't happen and it doesn't come down to it. But I also think that she can have kids, and I think that she doesn't know that yet.
I wonder if there isn't a way around that prophecy, especially now that she's down one child.
There you
technically.
Go. Yeah, well, I can't remember the prophecy off the top of my head, but sun rising different way and things.
Yeah.
It could be maybe the sun is Jon Snow somehow. I don't know.
Ooh, that's such a romantic theory.
Ooh, I like
maybe
this.
He rises.
Saying in the chat that since Jon is technically younger than Daenerys, and the nephew of Daenerys technically, that he could be the heir.
Yeah. I mean, he is actually more of an heir than Daenerys is, but he just doesn't realize that.
Yeah. Right.
And no one does except for Bran, who's keeping his mouth shut. Weirdo.
What a jerk.
But also, like, I wanted to bring up, because Tyrion's noticing he's got a problem with, because Daenerys has the same trait as Jon, where they both like to go in blazing and be the first one in the fight.
Right.
And he's just worried. He wants to remind her of her immortality. Her mortality. Because he's afraid that she's just going to get herself killed. And I think that's why he brought this up. Like, you have to stand back. You can't. You should not go to the most dangerous place on Earth.
We saw all those arrows and anyone could have killed you last time. Just took some better aim and we'll take you out.
So he has a point. Like, bringing up that she isn't invulnerable. But, you know, he's just, I think, in the fight against it, it's hard to fight against her.
I like her reaction. She's like, I sat around last time, didn't work. I like that she's becoming I'm the person in lead by example type of thing. Mm-hmm. And yes, granted, she's putting herself in a vulnerable place, but I don't know. I've always been more attracted to a leader who will put themselves in that position than a leader will be like, hey, everybody, do the dangerous stuff while I just lead back here.
Right.
You know. So next up, we go to Winterfell, where we got some little finger schemes going on.
I hate this.
Little finger.
Wow, the rules were wrong. I don't know. Why did I have that in quotes? That's obviously between Arya and Sansa.
That's what Arya said. That was like part of her whole speech about talking to Sansa in the beginning. Like, you wanted to be a queen. I wanted to be a knight. You know, when father smiled down at me, I knew that the rules weren't it wasn't me doing something wrong. It was the rules that were wrong. And yeah. I love that. Yeah.
That was awesome.
I break the rules all the time, and I feel that way.
I love it. That was a pretty nice scene. But at the end of it, it was tended by, and you help kill father.
Yeah.
Bring out the letter. Oh, man. I was hoping it was going to be puppy dogs and rainbows when the sisters finally got together, but Littlefinger is seeing to that. So this throws a huge wedge in their relationship here.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like Arya kind of knows, though. Like, yes, she understands that Sansa had to do it with a knife to her back, but I think, I mean, we see in this scene, she also, I feel like, gives her the dagger because she knows she needs to be protected from Littlefinger. I feel like Arya's on to it. You don't think
so? I don't know. I think that Arya sees something in Sansa that's her darkest side, and one of the things that happens in this episode is instead of Sansa going against it and being like, we kind of want them to be sisters and like each other, mm-hmm. but the first thing Sansa does is send away Brienne.
Yeah.
And after Littlefinger says, you know, Brienne will defend either one of you.
Yeah.
So if one of you fights the other, she's going to get in the way. So what does she do but send Brienne away could possibly attack Arya?
I saw that as Littlefinger sending that note, not King's Landing.
Yeah, but she listened. Sansa listened and sent Brienne away to be like, yeah, this way if I need to someone to attack Arya, I can do it.
Well, Sansa's stripping away any possible allies that Arya would have if it does come to that.
Yeah.
I did not see it that way.
I didn't see it that way either.
Did not think that Sansa was in on the Littlefinger plan to send Brienne away. You guys are saying that Sansa was.
Yes. I think definitely because there was that moment with Littlefinger's like, you know, Brienne is there for either one of you.
Yeah.
And Sansa
threw so many looks at the camera during the scene. Like when Brienne was walking away, it was kind of like,
what I thought they were setting up was, oh, don't worry about Arya because you have Brienne to back you up.
I thought so too.
She'll fight for you. But then the next scene is her going, you know what? I should send someone to King's Landing. I should probably send Brienne. And I was like, oh no. It pissed me off because I was like, Sansa, don't do this. Don't become Cersei. Because what you're doing right now is you're getting rid of the one person who will defend Arya because she doesn't realize really how dangerous Arya is.
But here's my question is, where did that letter come from? I don't think Cersei is inviting Sansa down there. So it had to be made by Littlefinger. But then what's Brienne going to go down to King's Landing? And they're all going to be like, what are you doing here?
I don't know. I think that might be...
What? I think she's not going to go.
Just to get her out of there?
I also think Brienne's not going to go, or at least leave Podrick, or send Podrick instead.
She wanted to leave Podrick.
I might send Podrick instead and be like, I'm staying here with Arya, because I don't know. I'm not leaving both of Catelyn's daughters, who clearly don't know what they're saying, because I'm sworn to protect them.
But
she's
getting an order from the woman.
I don't think she's honorable from
her lady lord there.
I think she's going to go, because I think next week it's going to be a lot of King's Landing, and I think Brienne's going to be there along with the Hound and along with like a lot of other
people.
Okay, so Sansa is going to try to kill Arya, and Arya gives her the dagger to do it.
I don't think she's going to. I think Arya expressed that she's mad,
okay,
and she can kill people. And you can trust her. She, like, explained all of that in her, like, kind of childish way in that scene. And I think Sansa knows now that is supposed to know now that she can trust Arya. I don't know that she does with Littlefinger in her ear.
I'm hoping this is all leading up to both of them turning on Littlefinger.
Yeah, I'm waiting for Littlefinger death. Like, I feel like that's the death that's going to happen this season. I've said that from the beginning.
That's true, you called it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've wanted his death this season.
I do like Littlefinger.
I still think he's making it until next season.
Yeah, well, I like to see him last, but
they do need to make sure that they have the Vale under their control. So if they just kill off Littlefinger, they'll lose all of the fighters from the Vale, and that's something they can't afford to lose right now. So that's something they need to keep in mind. I think the real reason why Littlefinger's around, and also Sansa sounds like she's listening to him, and I hope that's kind of a fake out for us.
Right.
Hope she's not really listening to him. It's just doing this so we think that she's listening.
She's outsmarted people before.
Yeah, I hope this is all a big chess match on her side, but I don't know. We'll see.
Guys, can we talk about this bag of faces for a minute here?
Oh, bag of faces!
The creepiest Santa Claus bag I think I've ever seen.
You don't have a bag of faces. Come on, Colin.
We all have bag of faces at home.
That was so creepy. And that, I'm assuming that was Walder Frey.
Yeah, one of them was Frey. One of them was definitely recognizable. The other one, I couldn't tell who it was. Almost look like Varys, but I don't think it was.
I just wasn't prepared for her to open up a satchel and start pulling out faces.
Yeah. I was like, we could have a whole episode about what's in that bag.
I was like, whoa, Jesus.
That surprised you, really?
What you got in that bag?
Yeah. I kind of expect her to have a bag of faces.
I don't know. I just thought it was more... I
thought it was more magical.
It is magical that she puts on a face and it becomes one, but I thought it was more... Like, I didn't think she was actually carrying physical faces in her bag. I thought it was more of just kind of a woof, and she would, like, have a different face.
No, I guess so, because she always takes it off Mission Impossible style at the end. And also, we see the wall of faces, and she tries one on, and that's how she loses her sight initially. Mm-hmm. So she had to learn how to use those faces. So they're magically preserved, and they're magic when they're put on, it changes the entire body. But I expected a bag of faces.
And then I also had this creepy feeling that she was giving the knife to Sansa so Sansa could cut off her own face. Twisted, I know. But like, I had that fear for half a second.
Right. No.
Yeah.
Sansa's not going anywhere.
I thought many things during that, and I hope it's what you said. It's a chess piece, and the game is played against us.
I think you're right. I think it is Arya being like, I'm dangerous. I could be really, you can't underestimate me.
Yeah, you need also, to no longer underestimate me.
Yeah, but also, I'm not cutting your face off. Here's your knife.
Yeah. So, and also, I'm your sister, and I'm still mad at you. Yeah. And I think that's valid. And I was upset that she didn't realize that Sansa had been traumatized.
Yes. Right.
She's not giving Sansa a lot of credit for being repeatedly raped and mutilated and held prisoner and manipulated by people much older than her.
They never had that sister-sister conversation where they really explained to each other what happened and, like, cried about it.
So what happened to you? Oh, you went blind?
I'm glad they're talking, though, even though it's not going well.
Yeah, it is good that they're talking. Awesome, guys. Well, I think that that about covers everything, unless we just want to talk ice dragons anymore. But actually, let's go into predictions for next week. Yeah. I'm thinking right now.
And now this is my prediction.
All right. So, spoiler warning, if you guys didn't watch the next week, we're going to be discussing that a little bit right now. So,
spoiler alert.
But not really.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Me neither.
Oh,
I like it.
Thank you. So, it looks like we are going to have the meeting at King's Landing next week.
I think it's in the Red Keep. Or is it in the ruins of the Sept?
I took it as the old dragon pit.
That's what I was thinking.
That's right. Because it kind of looked like Colosseum style to me. Right. And a bit in ruins. So
it's a trap! Is this supposed to be neutral ground, though?
Is this Akbar?
I'm worried about Cersei. I'm worried about any dragons that might show up there. I hope she keeps her dragons at home. But also, I could see a dragon perched over to be safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I just don't trust Cersei.
I don't know how. I mean, obviously, we can see that she is able to bring in some Dothraki with her. The Unsullied have made the march across. They are there too. So she has her army with her. But how much is going to get let into King's Landing? How much would Cersei let? And how are those sides going to be even?
Are you guys worried about Tyrion at all?
Well, there is a prediction that someone will betray Daenerys, and a lot of people are saying it's Tyrion after today's episode.
I don't think so.
I don't think Tyrion will betray her, but I think someone from each side is going to die next week during the meeting.
Tyrion's not
going
to die.
I cannot see a peaceful meeting happen. You guys think everyone's going to have pizza and then go home or what?
No.
Ooh, I will predict who won't die this season. You want that?
No. I want to know who's going to die next week. Who's going to die next week?
Well, it's not going to be
that's a
Tyrion.
Shorter list.
Tyrion's lasting until the end of the
year. Littlefinger's going to die next week. And then somebody from somebody's meeting, the meeting is not going to go well. I can't see it going well.
Well, I think what might be interesting is if the Hound is showing up with the Wight, that means he's seeing his old Franken brother kind of hanging around. So I wouldn't be surprised if maybe Cleganebowl happens next week.
Yeah.
I would like that.
Well, let's back up a little bit, then. Something we didn't talk about was the putting the Wight on the boat and Beric saying goodbye to the Brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
So does that mean the Brotherhood's going down with the Wight? Or does that mean the Hound's going down with the Wight? Like, who was staying and who was leaving in that scene?
From my understanding of it, this is just what I assumed. The Hound was going with the Wight, and the rest of them were staying up there. to kind of keep eye on the wall.
Okay, so Beric's chilling up there with his sword.
Yeah, mean, I wouldn't... I kind of wish Tormund would go, because Brienne's going to be down there. And also, he hasn't really been that far south, so it'll be nice to see him, like...
It smells like...
What is this place? I don't get any of this. And kind of freak out his hillbilly self. That'll be kind of nice to see.
I'm just really interested to see what Cersei's reaction to an undead zombie creature is.
I don't think she's going to be that phased.
Yeah, I think she's pretty narrow-minded.
Yeah,
she's
but at the same time, how can you not have any sort of reaction when you see it?
She has one employed.
Yeah, well, she has like a scientific kind of thing.
She has a Frankenmonster, so she's going to see one of those and be like, eh.
What if it's dead? Do you guys think it's going to be able to survive?
Yes, I think so.
Die in the heat of the south.
For one, that'll be depressing because that'll be like how this whole it makes this whole episode like why did it even happen?
I think they all feel that way.
Yeah, because it was the dumbest plan I think I've ever seen on this show.
I don't know.
I predict that Littlefinger is in danger. Cersei is in danger, and I think that Tyrion
better not Sansa, show up to the meeting.
Arya. And Jaime are safe for this entire season.
Ooh, you know what would be interesting if...
And Jon, obviously.
Someone who goes to the meeting turns out to be Arya.
Oh.
You know? They could pull, like, a face-off. They could pull... Yeah. Arya, that could be a good way for Arya.
What if it's Brienne?
No, that means Brienne she would have to kill Brienne.
Yeah, sorry. We always get so excited about who Arya can impersonate. We're like, oh, that's right, they have to.
No, they have to be dead. So I think
it's giant Brienne pulls out the face and it's little Arya.
I think if it's anyone, it's going to be like a maid or something. It's going to be someone who's like kind of following them around. I don't think it's going to be anyone important.
Okay.
But it could be a way for Arya to sneak into King's Landing.
Who knows? We're just making crazy predictions now.
Yep.
That's about it, guys. Thank you so much for watching this AfterBuzz TV after show for Game of Thrones Season 7, Episode 6, Beyond the Wall. We'll be here next week for the finale.
Finale.
Guys, Episode 7 finale.
Too soon.
So make sure you join us. If you are watching us on YouTube, make sure to click that like and subscribe button. If you're listening to us on iTunes, make sure to subscribe. Listen to us every week. My name is Kyle Maddock. Thank you guys so much for watching.
I'm Kristen Snyder. You can follow me at Cinematic Escape.
And I'm Dave Child. You can follow me at MrDaveChild on the Instagrams and the Twitters and DaveChild.com. My name's Dave Child. Bye.
Thanks for watching, guys. I am your chat maester, Amber Plaster. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram and look at my weird blue hair if you want to. We'll be back next Sunday at 7 p.m.
Look at it. Look at it.
And it's going to be a longer episode next week
as well. Yeah, it is.
So
we
might be closer to 7:30. So don't get mad.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, we will be here no matter what.
There we go. Awesome, guys. Join us next week for the Season 7 finale.
It's going down.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Valor Morghulis.
Ice Dragon.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.